Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And again, we have a small group, but again, it's summertime.
People are getting
out while they can. Yeah, people are getting out while they can, going on vacation, got family in, and all the different things that are going in summertime. So we press on, guys.
Yes.
So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God. Father, we do thank you for the change of the seasons, because in it you show your faithfulness to us, faithfulness to this planet, Lord God. Father, even as our hearts are heavy by the shootings that have happened this week, Lord God, and the people that lost their lives, not planning on it, but instantly they were gone and taken into eternity, Lord God, not knowing, Lord God. Father, we know that it is signs of your coming, Lord God. Even as you talked about wars in many places, Lord God. Father, we see the war going on, Lord God, the war in the schools, Lord, the war, Lord God, in the communities, Lord God, the war in the families, Lord God, all the wars that are going on, Lord God, and we just lift it all up to you, Lord God. Come thy kingdom, be done thy will, oh Lord, is what we speak over all of this, Lord God. We have no specific answers but Jesus, oh Lord, so we say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus over this nation, Lord God. Jesus, 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 Lord God. Oh Lord, we just continue to pray, Lord, the war on abortion, Lord God. Oh Lord, as innocents are being just snuffed out by the millions, Lord God. Oh Lord, we pray, Lord, oh God, we just pray. Move by your power, move by your spirit, Lord God, all over the world, the war on poverty, Lord God, children starving, Lord, in the streets, Lord God, help us. Oh, Lord, show us the way, Lord God. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. Bless us and we shall be blessed. Help us and we shall be helped. And Lord, and we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we are getting into lesson four. If you didn't pick up your handout, the handouts are in the back of the room there. We're in session four now of Battle Plan for Prayer, our book by the Kendrick Brothers. And we are just really just getting so much out of this, folks. I know we've been, seem like this class has become the prayer class, and that's okay. Because that's what we need today. More than anything, we need prayer. And we cannot learn enough about prayer. Okay, don't think, oh, well, I did a purpose on prayer lesson before. No, we can't learn enough, folks. If you learn it again. Learn it again until it becomes solid in your spirit. So session four is called Why? The Ultimate Purpose of Prayer. Why prayer? The ultimate purpose. So we got to look at the purpose of prayer. Why do we have to pray in the first place when God knows everything? Why do we have to pray? And our key scripture is from John 14:13, and it says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So again, he's talking specifically about prayer, because when you're talking about asking Christ, asking the Father, you're talking about prayer. So the first comment on your lesson says, ultimately, all prayer is for the glory of God. Margie, would you close that door, please? And again, I'll say it again. Ultimately, all prayer is for the glory of God. Okay, folks, that's the take-home message right there. That first line is that we pray for the glory of God. The best answer he can give to any prayer is whatever brings him the most glory. And that's in our book on page 27. You think about that. You know, whatever brings him the most glory. And if it was a human being saying this, that would sound kind of selfish, wouldn't it? Like, it's all about you. It's all about you. But we are not talking about a human being, folks. We are talking about the true and the living God. We are talking about the creator of the universe. We're talking about the one who sacrificed his son for us. So whatever brings him the most glory is going to be good for us. And I'm getting ahead on the lesson, so let's go back to the lesson. Next point says, because God is love. That's what the Bible says. He is love. We can rest in peace and rest and have peace in the answers he gives to our prayers. So God is not loving per se, and God is not a lovable person per se, but he is the very essence of what love is. He is love. So we can rest and have peace in the answers he gives to prayer because he is love. Whatever comes out of him is going to be love. Whatever brings him glory will be born out of love. When his name is exalted, we are always better than we were before. So this is different. And, you know, and I say that because we've got to shift our mindset as human beings, because we're so used to, you know, if anything is about a person, one person, we think, okay, they're selfish. They want this. They want something from us. They just want to use us. Oh, man, you could be so, you're so wrong when it comes to God on that. But that's the way a lot of humans see God. Why do we have to worship? Why do we have to go to church? Why do we have to do this? Oh, man, you just don't get it. Because they don't know who he is. They haven't caught a glimpse of who he is. When people look at our lives and see the glory of the Lord revealed, they are also better as seeds of faith have been planted into our lives. You know, not only are we better, but the people that see us are better when they see our lives. Oh, folks, I know, you know, we've been talking about family and we've been talking about different things, but folks, I'm telling you, just the fact that they're seeing you blesses their lives. Yes. Just the fact that they see how you are living your life and how God is blessing your life. And even, you know, I'm not talking about with material possessions per se, even though that can be a part of it, but also the way your countenance is, the way the peace that you walk in, the joy you walk in, it blesses other people, even unbelievers. When they see it, they love to see you coming because they know, you know, you're not going to be a downer. You know, you're not going to be necessarily a downer, but you're going to be, they're going to be blessed because you come near them. You know, the next point in your lesson says, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, everyone who is called by my name, he says, has been created for my glory. And that's Isaiah 43:7. It says, everything that's called by my name. It's not everyone that calls on his name, but everyone that's called by my name. That includes all creation, because all creation came through him, you know. So God's glory, God desires to shine his glory through us, his creation. Therefore, he desires to bless our lives, because that's how he, I mean, he blesses. His glory comes as he blesses us. Blessings in our lives brings him glory. Let me say that again. Blessings in our lives brings God glory. His glory is the purpose of all creation. He could have made the earth dull. He could have made the earth flat. He could have made the earth bland. But instead, he created these majestic mountains and flower-clothed valleys. I mean, he could have, why'd you got to go through all that work? I mean, I don't know if you ever made that ride up from Pueblo up to Canyon City, but there is a field filled with purple flowers. No one's taking care of it but God, you know? And I'm like, why even do all of that? Why make these beautiful, majestic mountains? And even the mountains themselves, even if they have no growth on them, they're full of all this color. You can feel, see all this color and all this majesty, because it all is for the glory of God. In Matthew 6, if you have your Bible, Matthew 6, 28, 29 says, the word of God comments on the beauty of the lilies of the field and how Solomon, with all of his riches, was not adorned as beautiful as these flowers. They exist for the glory of God. That's why he, you know, you look at a flower. Have you ever really looked at a flower? It's amazing as you look at a flower and the detail that God puts in a flower. I'm like, why? You know, even the tiny flowers, you look at them under a magnifying glass, you're like, oh my God, there's speckles in there. You know, it's like he does this because it's all for his glory, even into the microscopic world that we didn't even know about until it got advanced in humanity. We didn't even know there was a whole nother world living microscopically, all to the glory of God. I'm telling you. So God's glory is in everything. He could have made only one kind of animal, but he made countless variations of creatures to walk and swim on the earth. Mankind has yet to catalog them all. This is the purpose of the creation, his glory. Have you ever seen something you never saw before in an animal? Oh my God, I've never seen a dog like that. Oh my God, I've never seen a cat like, oh my goodness, look at that. Oh, did you see that bug? Oh my God. You know, even though you're like freaked out, you're like, oh my God, a bug. It's orange with black and red speckles, you know, all for his glory. I mean, he could have just made all the bugs black, but he just went on and colored all the bugs and the insects. And, you know, and they said, we haven't cataloged all the insects for sure. They have not cataloged them all. But the animals, and when they go into the depths of the sea and they see all the different fish, there are depths that mankind cannot even go to because the pressure is too great. And we don't even have vessels that can go to some of the depths of the sea. But you know, there are animals, there's fish living down there that mankind has never laid eyes on. We have not seen them. It was Matthew 6, 28 and 29. So, and finally, when we look at mankind, he could have made us so simple, mindless clay-filled creatures. We could have been mindless automatons walking around all stiff clay. You know, he could have done that. But instead, he created our minds to give us the ability for thought and reason. And I hope God doesn't regret that, but he did. He gave us a mind, this cerebral cortex, this piece of brain matter you have, all this big head you have. It is because he gave you thought and reason. You know, I think he could have done it without the cerebral cortex, but we needed something to figure it out. So he gave us the cerebral cortex so it would make sense to us. But he gave us the ability for thought and reason. And then he gave us a soul, so that we had the ability to feel and to love. Oh my goodness, he gave us a soul, folks. Not just, can you imagine if we just had thought and reason, but we had no ability to feel? No heart, no feel, no way to love each other. Can you imagine what this world would be like? It's bad enough the way it is. But can you imagine if we had no heart, but he gave us the ability to feel and to love? And then on top of that, he gave us bodies with such sophistication that we need a whole branch of science just to understand it. We need a whole branch of medicine just dedicated to understanding the human body. And then in medicine, you have all these different specialties because one person cannot figure it out. One specialty can't do it all. I mean, I'm just going to deal with the heart. I'm going to be a cardiologist. I'll just deal with the heart. I can't be bothered with how women are having babies. You know, I'm just dealing with the heart. I'm just the neurologist. I'm just dealing with the brain. Okay, don't even be bothering me about what's going on with the foot because I am dealing with the nervous system. Okay, you know, it's system upon system. Yes. And a system, and thousands of years later, we still don't understand all the systems of the body. Oh, because of our existence reveals the glory of God. Your body reveals the glory of God. Boy, I'm telling you, the majesty of it. I remember just learning about the human body, and I was just blown away. First time I heard about it was in high school when we were in biology, and I had a teacher. He was so amazing. He was talking about how the heart worked. And I was sitting there, I think my mouth was wide open as he was explaining for the first time I ever heard how the heart, human heart worked. And I was like, and he was talking about squishing on this side and this goes shooting through the aorta and it goes through all the body and it goes down into the legs and it comes back into these little tiny veins and the veins get bigger and bigger and bigger and they go into the vena cava and they come into the left, to the right side of the heart and they come down and they squish into the lungs and the lungs take a breath of air and it's oxygenated again and it goes back to the heart. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, I had no idea all that was going on in me.
Is that
fearfully and wonderfully made?
Amen.
All for the glory of God. You know, I mean, I don't know how anybody could study the human body and not believe that there is a God, that this all happened out of a big bang, that how does order come out of chaos?
Yeah.
An explosion is chaotic. Things are flying everywhere. Uh-huh. How does system upon system upon system, oh man, I just want to say hallelujah just talking about it, come together like it does and work like it does in this heart, man. I forgot how many times it beats in a lifetime or how many times it has the ability to beat in a lifetime. I mean, we have people living into their hundreds these days, you know. And how many times, and it beats constantly. When you're sleeping, it's beating. and you're breathing, and those lungs are just working when you're sleeping. I mean, this is God's glory. You know, I don't even have to pay attention to what's going on. He just does it. He just does it. I mean, it just blows my mind what he has done and when he created even the fleshly, fallible body of man still reveals and tells of the glory of God, folks. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I just get excited when I was just studying this. I'm like, yes, absolutely. Everything is for his glory. That is the purpose of prayer. Glory, glory. Pray, Lord, let your blessings flow through me. We haven't even gotten into the gifts and talents. Okay, I'm getting ahead on the lesson. Let's just get into the gifts and the talents that God has given his people. So we get on this next section, glory. It's just entitled glory. Let's just talk about glory and what that is. Glory is a word we hear a lot. It sounds familiar, especially in the language of Christian worship. Yet we don't always understand what it means. And this is from our book. The Hebrew word for glory carries the idea of weight and importance, majesty and honor. What is the glory of God? Yes. Question mark. What is the glory of God? Well, of course, we have to go to the word. We will never know all that he is on this side of heaven. But the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know when Christ appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Okay, so our first point, when God reveals a glimpse of himself, of who he is. Wow, that is glory. When God reveals a glimpse, I don't know if you've got a glimpse of God, and yes, you have, because when God comes through, and you know that shouldn't have happened, and you know that shouldn't have worked out, that is God giving you a glimpse of himself, and that's why you say hallelujah. That's why you say thank you, Jesus, because I know that didn't have to happen, but thank you, Jesus. That's when God reveals glory, a glimpse of himself. And then 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. Can you believe that? What we will be. I mean, I think we're already pretty amazing creatures, but it's saying what we will be has not even been revealed. We know that when Christ appears, and folks, he's coming. You hear me? He's coming. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Then you'll see the true glory. The full glory. Why doesn't he reveal himself to us now? Because we couldn't handle it. And these bodies, oh no. That's why the Bible says no man has seen God and lived. You know, because our bodies couldn't take it. But one day we will see who he really is. But right now we're just seeing glimpses of who he is. When Moses was on Mount Sinai and he was receiving the Ten Commandments, and Moses, and God says, I'm going to cover you with my hand, and I'm going to walk, and then I'll let you see the back of me.
That's right.
Oh, man, because his majesty was so amazing. Moses in his fleshly body could not handle seeing God. So that's what God did. He just wanted to show his servant Moses a glimpse of him, a part of him, you know, because he is so amazing. So that's the first point, a glimpse of glory. The glory of God is a glimpse of who he is. The next point says, visible evidence of the vast significance of his being is awesome on display. Even the most atheistic heart will slip out and say, oh my God, when faced with the awesomeness of his creation. Is it not true? Have you ever been somebody, not even a believer? I mean, you hear people say it all the time. Oh my God. Oh my, something. Oh my God. You know, you see an athlete do something incredible. They make that touchdown. They said, oh my God.
But yet they don't believe their
God. Because the glory of God, it amazes us. It comes out. The visible evidence of his awesomeness comes out, and it just slips out the mouth of the creation, even the creation that has not yet committed their lives to him. It comes out because the creation can't help it. The creation came from him. Oh, my goodness. I hope you. Oh, man. I'm telling you, because you hear people. You hear it all the time. I mean, you can watch some stuff on TV, you're like, oh, goodness. Then, oh, my God, why are you, who are you calling on? But the creation, it comes out of their mouth because that's who they are. The next point says, unwrapping a measure of his identity. That's what glory does. Unwrapping a measure of his identity is the glory. His nature, holiness, power, loving kindness. It is that part of God that he will not give to another. He spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Now, you got to get this. It is a part of his glory is a part of his identity. It's his nature. It's his holiness. It's his power. It's his loving kindness. That's his glory. All of that is his glory. And he will not share it with another person. He spoke to the prophet Isaiah. Your lesson says, I am the Lord God. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved idols. And that's Isaiah 42:8 in the Amplified. God's glory is the essence of his identity, and he will not allow it to be stolen or misrepresented. Hallelujah. He will not allow it to be stolen. God will not allow this because only he will love creation and can love creation as he does. That's why he doesn't give his glory to another person, because another person will not love creation like God loves creation. Another person will not care for creation like God cares for creation. You know, I'm amazed at some people that are just outright Satanists. They worship Satan. They praise Satan. They do all this stuff in the name of Satan. And I'm like, Satan doesn't love you. Don't you get that? He will not care for you. He will not take care of you. He may give you riches for a moment just to lure you and to get you. And he may give you those pleasures for a day. But in the end, you will find he never loved you, never cared for you. And that's why God doesn't give his glory to anybody. Because only he can take care of creation. And only he will love creation as he does. All other false gods cannot do what he has done and continually does for creation. He holds his glory as his own. And that's why he doesn't share it. Because his glory is his power. His glory is his holiness. His glory is his loving kindness. He's not going to share his loving kindness with anybody. It is his. And if we operate in it, we operate in it through him. If we operate in his power, we operate through him. That's why if you're not operating in the power of God, you're operating in another source. And that source of power does not love humanity. That source of power will not take care of humanity. Oh, my goodness. But God's glory is his own, and it will not go to another person. Next comment on God's glory. God is complete within his glory. He exists eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and is utterly complete within himself. That's from our book. He did not need to complete himself. The fact that he created us is a testament to his glory. His word says, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and the power, for you created all things, and because of you, they exist, and they were created and brought into being. That's Revelation 4:11 in the Amplified. Oh man, that's why you're here. He's complete. He didn't need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. You know, his love is what brought you into existence. You understand? His love did it. It brought you into existence. That's why you're here. He is complete within himself. And that's why the praise that comes out of Revelation 4, worthy are you, O Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you created all things. And because of your will, they exist and were created and brought into being because of his will. You're here because of his will. Isn't that should excite you. That God created you. It was his will to create it. You weren't an accident. You didn't just show up on the planet and God says, whoops, you know, who's that? No, he already knew. He's Alpha and Omega. He's already at the end of your life. He already knew. He knows when you were coming. And he was ready. And it was his will that you be here. So let no one ever tell you you're an accident. I don't care what the circumstances of your birth was. You were never an accident because of His will. You're here. You are here on purpose. Oh, keep that in mind, boy. Oh, everything God has created was created to reveal His glory. From the stars to the earth to you and I, all things were created to show His glory. That is the job of creation, to reveal the glory of its creator. God delights when you excel in your gifts and talents, just as He delights in a rosebud opening to reveal its beauty. Both reveal His glory. You get that? When you walk in your gifts and talents, God is so delighted. He's delighted. Oh boy, I'm telling you, and I just think about the scripture says, and it's so true. You know this is true. The gifts are without repentance. You know, I had to understand that scripture, but I've come to understand it. All the gifted people that don't serve God, they're using their gifts and their talents for so many other things, and they don't serve Him, because when God created those people, when God created them, He put those gifts and He talents in them, and they're without repentance. He means they don't even have to come to me to express them. Isn't that something? But it's all for Him. It was put in them for His glory, even though they don't use it for His glory. But that's amazing how He created mankind. He puts all this stuff in us, these gifts and talents. You know, unbelievers have the same systems in their body that I do. You know, that's how amazing God is. The love that He has just blows my mind. Lord, how can you love them? How can you, Father? But His love is so different than my love. My love is circumstantial. My love is based on, you know, as we're growing in God, we're trying to learn how to love conditionally, but our love has a long way to go to be like His love. So again, when you see the gifts and talents in people, whether they are believers or not believers, it was put in them for the glory of God. And it's like a rosebud. Both reveal the glory of God. The word says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. That's Psalm 19 and 1, New King James Version. So wherever you look, you see the glory of God. Wherever we look, creation was made perfect by God, and then it was flawed by mankind. But His glory still comes shining through in it, doesn't it? You know, we flawed the earth when we made that decision, you know, to follow Satan over following God, when we decided to disobey God. But the glory of the earth, you know, and it was like creation. If you read in Romans, it talks about how creation was subjected. How it was brought down. It was brought down because of us, because we made a decision and fell. God brought creation down too. And that's why you see the earth. Oh man, and the scripture said the earth groans within itself. Oh my God. It groans. It groans because I believe the earth in itself knew what it was. And it groans. And the scripture says it waits for the revealing. Oh my God. Of the sons of God. It waits. You think we're waiting for Jesus to come? I believe the earth, the planet is I'm waiting for, because you know what? They've messed us me up, you know. If the earth had a personality, maybe it does. I don't know. But when you look at the earth groaning, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the wildfires, the lightning, the storms, the earth, the Bible says the earth is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And that's us. That's that great day. I believe it's talking about that great day. Oh, when we're caught up, and the Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Oh my goodness. So you see the things happening. It's because even the earth groans within itself. I keep hearing about this island. I can't even remember what the details were, but there's this island that's out in the Pacific. And they say if this island ever had an earthquake where a piece of this mountain fell off, they said if it's on a fault line, and if the earthquake ever occurred, have you guys heard this? And it falls into the ocean, it would create a tsunami that would take out the entire west coast of the United States. I'm like, really? And they said, yeah, it's on a fault line. And it's just a matter of time, they said, before it happens. You know, and this mountain falls into the ocean and it will create a tsunami that would take out, oh man. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, all in your hands, Father. The earth groaning within itself, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. So again, folks, we see the glory of God all around us. Even the fact that that mountain hasn't fell yet. Even the fact that that earthquake has not. Oh, that's the glory of God. It's all in his hands, folks. Don't you know it's all in his hands? You know, I had a pastor that used to say, if God blinked, the United States would disappear. Oh, thank God he doesn't blink. He said, if God just blinked.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. God doesn't blink, guys. His eye is always on you. And the detail, as I said, this whole microscopic world that we didn't even know about. Do you not doubt that he counts the hairs on your head? Does he not? Do you doubt it? Do you know he knows how many you combed out this morning when you got ready? He knows. He knows. She counts. She combed out 235 strands. Okay. So that leaves. Oh, that's the detail. That's the detail that he knows about us. The next on your lesson, it says, since the Creator loves the creation experiences joy as it reveals the glory of its Creator. Wow. And you see how that works? It's like a circle. You know, they talk about the circle of life, but here it is. The circle of joy. Because the Creator loves the creation experiences joy as it reveals the glory of its Creator. Wow. This is a gift to the creation as it glorifies God. Oh, man. The psalmist wrote, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11, Amplified. Boy, this is the words of the praiser, the one that praises. This is what he said. In your presence is fullness of joy. When you start raising your hand and you praise God and you just come into your presence, you are full of joy. I don't care what's happened. Your heart is lifted. Oh, he takes it. David knew this. He knew how to worship and he knew how to praise, and he came to the conclusion. He said, in your presence there's fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And you come into his presence in prayer. You come into his presence in praise. So as you start praising him, oh man, he doesn't just, oh man, he fills you with joy. Can you get that? You're not just going in, okay, like a, you know, some people, they go to their false gods and they go in there and they give their sacrifice and they walk away and nothing. You know, well, we did it and I guess we feel better now that we've given, you know, whoever our sacrifice, even to the sacrifice of their kids back in the day or even maybe even today. But when you come into the presence of your God, the true and the living God, and he sees you come into his presence in prayer and in praise, oh, he can't help but pour his glory on you and pour his joy. And within his glory, there is joy. Within his glory, there is peace. Within his glory, there is love. Within his glory, oh my goodness, you come out of your prayer closet and you're ready for the day. Oh my goodness, because you do not come into the presence of God and not experience the joy. And that's what David was talking about here in this psalm, Psalm 16. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When you seek to express the glory of God in your life and you experience not only his joy, but also the love of the Creator and his peace as you live in this world, you are complete in his glory.
Amen.
You are complete in his glory. Don't you know? I love that. I don't have to look to anybody else. You know, I love you all. I love people. But people come and go. People can't do for you what God can do. He's there 24/7, 365. There's no stop every day of your life. He is there. You are complete in him.
Amen.
You don't need anybody else, you know. You know, sometimes I look at people that always need people around them, you know, that always need, and you know, and I'm, you know, it's good to have people around you. It's wonderful. But boy, I think it's sad if you have to have that.
That's right.
And if you don't have it, you're unhappy. you know, boy, show me the person that could get along by themselves, that love that's full of the joy of the Lord all by themselves. Man, I'm telling you, all by themselves. Yeah, I'm telling you. I tell you, I have a good time at home all by myself, Rita. I'd be praising God all by myself. I said, honey, I don't got a full Seraphim care port. It's Karen Colby. She ain't got a husband. She ain't got old port. Listen, Karen, fine, honey. Because me and Jesus be having a good time. We have some wonderful conversations. Oh, man. Oh, in his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. We have to tap into this. You are complete in him. When you express your gifts, you experience the glory of creation. When you have children, don't you understand? You're experiencing the glory of creation. Oh, man. Anytime you express anything that the Creator has put in you, you are experiencing the glory of creation. I don't know. Those of you that have had children, you remember when you had that baby. Oh, my goodness. You cannot tell me that the glory of the Lord was not upon you at that moment when you looked upon that child, you know? Boy, I'm telling you, even unbelievers, they're like, oh my God. When you see that little life and you see the little details, you know, and you're looking, they got the little, you know, you look at the little foot and the little creases in the foot and you're like, oh my God. And the detail, those little fingers, and the, you know, they got little bones, you know, that bend and work, you know, from the time they are born, they can grab your, and you're like, oh my God. I mean, I was, I know, those little, I know, I remember a lady like that. She loved baby's feet. I don't know what it was, but she was at my church back in Tulsa, and we had Kristen. She ran up to me. She was a friend. And she had to take off her booty and just, oh, I just love baby feet. Oh. And she just, I'm like, it was just something about the foot that just really just blew her mind when it came to God and his glory and those little life and how they, you know, I just, when you think about an infant and, oh man, I'm like, it blew my mind, you know, and it blows your mind because you had nothing to do with it, really. Yeah, you carried the baby.
We just carried.
But you just carried, you know. It's like you just carried the baby. It's like carrying your groceries. You didn't make anything in that bag.
No,
you're just carrying the groceries home and to enjoy it. But God. Oh, man, folks, when you look at the detail, his glory is revealed over and over. It's so sad that we take it for granted so much, but we experience the glory of the Creator. It's seen throughout the earth. God is not foreign to any creature or any creation on earth. God is not foreign to them. I don't care what people say, you know. God is not foreign.
No.
That's why missionary people say, that's why a missionary can go to the outpost of the world. I mean, to the deep jungles of Africa, South America, and preach the gospel and people respond. People respond because the creation knows. Oh, there's something within the creation that knows. People, the Bible describes it as your spirit. Your spirit is untouched by anything but God. False gods can't touch your spirit. You know, Satan worship will never touch your spirit. But when you hear about the Creator and the true and the living God, something ignites. Something ignites. And that's why you can go anywhere. And that's why the gospel has spread to all the corners of the earth. Because the creation, there is nothing on earth that does not know. Even though they may not know it here, the spirit knows. Oh, the spirit knows when it hears the Creator. And their spirit will respond when it hears the Creator. The earth responds when it hears the Creator. You know, I know we live on the planet, but I'm telling you, the earth is listening to the Creator. I believe that. The earth is going to do what the Creator says to do. Nothing on earth or the earth itself is foreign to the Creator. And this is why we minister the gospel. There's always some type of emotional response when you minister the gospel. Sometimes the response is anger. And sometimes the response is tears. But do you notice when you minister Jesus, there's some kind of response from people. Yeah. And even when they get angry, it's a response because the creature knows the Creator. And even when I want to reject him and I don't want to hear about him, oh, the emotion is there because the creation knows. You know, you can tell them about all other religions and they're like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, really? That's what you think? That's what you mean? But you tell them about Jesus? Oh, watch things rile up. Because the creation knows. And sometimes they respond in tears. Because again, the creation knows the Creator. Oh, the creature knows that within itself that something is owed to the Creator. And that's why people get angry too. They don't want to owe anybody. I got here on my own merit, and I'm my own person, and I own my own boss, and I'm on my own this, and I take care of myself, and I maintain myself. But deep inside, they know something is owed. Worship is owed to the Creator. And even if they get angry because they don't want to give it, you know, folks, so don't let, get the full perspective on the world and why people are the way they are, because the Creator, oh man, is known. And the Creator is owed our worship, and the Creator, oh man, no one else can be the Creator. The next point in your lesson says, God may keep a part of his glory somewhat hidden until he could reveal it at the exact perfect moment when he knew you would value and worship it and worship him because of it. Boy, that's a hard one, but it's true. God may keep a part of his glory somewhat hidden until he could reveal it at the exact perfect moment when he knew you would value it and worship him because of it. Oh, he wants you to worship him, and it's not selfish. People think, well, why do we have to worship God? Why is he a God that needs worship? I'm like, you know what? I don't think he needs worship. I think we need to worship him because we need help. Uh-huh. That's why. He's loving you by telling you, worship me so I could give you what you need. That's what that's all about. But we miss the point. Your lesson says we take so much for granted until things and people are taken or threatened to be taken. When this happens, God has an opportunity to reveal his glory as your provider, Jehovah Jireh. He has an opportunity because otherwise we take it for granted. Oh, we're going to go in a whole lesson on being ungrateful. We're going to talk about that. You know, but that's the way the world, many people walk on the earth. They never praise him. They never worship him. They don't want to. They don't, you know, and so it's only in the dark times do they finally turn their face toward God and ask of him, you know, and are ready to honor him as God. And God takes them to that place because it is good for you to worship. Okay? God will exist whether you worship him or not. God will be God whether you worship him or not. It is good for you to worship. It helps you to do this. Your lesson says, recall the story of Abraham in Genesis 22. When Abraham called him to sacrifice his precious son Isaac, even though it did not make sense to Abraham that God would ask him to sacrifice the promised son, he obeyed. And just when Abraham raised his hand to sacrifice his son, God sent the provision. God revealed his glory at the moment of need. Why did God take Abraham through that exercise? Because he needed Abraham to understand the source of all things. Because see, if we don't understand the source of all things, we're going to be running after everything. And not everything is good for you, and not everything is going to help you. And some things will even kill you. You know, and that's why God works within our lives so that we know that he is our source of everything and he is our God, even to the point of asking us to sacrifice what is most precious to us. Oh my goodness. He asked this of Abraham. After all Abraham had already done to obey God, God still asked this because he wanted Abraham to really get it. I believe that's why he took him through this. He wants us to get it with our kids. oh man, we don't think that God loves our kids more than we do. But you're absolutely wrong. He loves your kids more than you. Those kids are just on loan to you. Do you understand? He just let you raise them, okay? But they're on loan to you. And he wants you to look to him, even beyond them, but whatever they're doing. Look to him for them. And that's what God wants to work in us. You know, I believe everything that happens because God is working in our lives. So God wants to reveal his glory at the moment of need. I tell you, I always say, you show me somebody that's never been through something, and I'll show you somebody that's immature. Yes. You know, you show me somebody that's been in the valleys and the trenches that have gone through, and boy, and it's come through smiling and praising God, I'll show you somebody I want to hang out with. Oh, man, I'm telling you, God is always working something good in our lives. The next one in your lesson says, so much can be seen in this story. Even when it appears that you are losing the thing or person most precious to you, the glory of God can shine in your situation and bring the provision that you need. Oh, and you know the story. The ram was caught in the thicket by the horns, and he was able to sacrifice the ram. His glory shines brightest in the emptiness of our lives. We see it best in the darkness, in our need, and even in our sorrow. That's when we see how God is great best. You know, how he picks you up. We all have had losses in our life, but here we are praising and worshiping him. We can look back to that time and like, God, you brought me through it. You brought me through it, Father. You brought me through it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to lose my mind, but God, you brought me through it. Oh, man, I'm telling you. So we see his glory in the darkness. As hard as the darkness is, boy, we see it best in the darkness. God's glory is always shining, but in the darkness, we appreciate it more.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Consider the vast emptiness of space. If you ever think about space and, you know, I'm just going to get some Kleenex here. The vast emptiness of space and that God set planet Earth in the middle of this vast emptiness of space. When you think about space, there's no air. There's no heat. It's freezing out there. They said you would turn to ice in seconds if you were out there unprotected. There's no heat. There's no food. There's no light. And there's no life. This is the vast emptiness of space. And you put that in contrast to planet Earth, enveloped in an atmosphere. You wonder why that planet is not a big ball of ice? Because space is freezing. Why it's not a big ball of ice? Because God enveloped it with an envelope of warmth and heat, an atmosphere that the astronauts have to burn. They have to break. You ever seen those pictures of them breaking through the atmosphere and this burn going on? I mean, they have to go through like a wall of fire to get out of the Earth's atmosphere. Hallelujah. Because God, oh man, when you can think about his glory again, in contrast to space and earth. The earth reveals the glory of God. It's protected. Life is on earth. Air is on earth. Food is on earth. Oh my goodness. So you see this contrast sitting next to each other. Space and planet Earth. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it makes me want to scream sometimes when I think about what he has done. And how his glory comes through, and we take it for granted. Oh man, sometimes it just breaks your heart how people take God for granted. You eat his food, you breathe his air, you walk on his planet, and you won't even give him any glory. And you grumble to come to his house to worship. You know, you grumble to give him honor, and you stick your chest out and you want to be arrogant. And think it's all you. Here you are, a little speck on the planet, and you think, how can you ever think that you are sustained on your own? But that's how the enemy has twisted the minds of many. And again, that's why we pray. That's why we pray. The next one in your lesson, I was hoping to finish. This is all one lesson, but maybe we'll get finished. As we come through the days of the revealing of the glory of God, we learn that we can depend totally on Him, on His glory. This is God's pattern. He makes His glory known progressively in your life and through your life from one situation to the next. Isn't that true? He shows His glory in your life progressively, bit by bit by bit. When you're a child, you really don't get it. You don't understand it. I mean, I love children because they pray so innocently and they believe so strongly and so beautifully. But sometimes as we get older, you know, we really don't get, we take for granted. We've been here so long, so protected, so sheltered. You know, we don't understand all that God does. But as you go through the trials of life, little by little, He shows you His glory through situations. From one situation to the next, He shows His glory. From glory to glory to glory, says the scriptures. Don't you love that when the scriptures just kind of jump out as true? Oh man, that verse is true, isn't it? That happens. So verse 4, God develops for each of us our own glory story. Don't you love that? We all have our own glory story. We're telling what God does and what God has done. We're telling our own glory story. As He did for Abraham, coming through when we needed Him most. From the manna provided to the children of Israel when they were hungry in the wilderness, and this is in Exodus 16, to the sending of the Savior through the virgin birth, to the resurrection of Christ our Lord. God's glory came shining through when all hope seemed lost. Boy, when all hope seemed lost. I mean, the children of Israel, Abraham, boy. I mean, it seems like if God didn't help them, Abraham was not going to be helped. Boy, children of Israel, they were starving. They were hungry in the wilderness. They were hungry. And God rained down manna from heaven and quails for them to eat, you know, when all hope seems lost. And then Israel's in captivity under the occupation of the Roman government. And God sent Jesus. Jesus came in the middle of all that when the earth was just at one of the worst points in history. God sent His Son in the middle of all of that. And then when the disciples thought all hope was lost and Jesus had been crucified and they all ran and scattered, probably ashamed and embarrassed and frightened and all of this. And then the resurrection came, man. Jesus shows up. I'm telling you, His glory shows up over and over. His glory always comes shining through when all hope seemed lost. The next point says, God's glory operates in the supernatural. It is not confined by human reason or earthly science. His glory just is. You know, as I said, I think God gives us science and we'll just understand. He gave us a brain for reason, human reasoning. So, you know, we just needed something to do, I think. He gave us this cerebral cortex for reasoning and then created all these systems and all these little things in nature. And we spend our time just trying to figure out everything around us. But God's glory can operate outside of science. His glory just is. When we pray, we enter into the realm of His glory. Do you understand? You don't have to understand it. If you pray prayers that will bring or reveal His glory, you shall see great and wonderful things. And this is why we pray, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. So God can reveal His glory. We don't know how to pray. The scripture says as we ought. That's why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And I'm learning to pray that over situations. I don't pray details. We'll pray that this will happen and pray that my daughter will come back home and pray that, I will get that house and pray that I pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done over your life is what I pray. Because I don't know what to pray for you as I ought. I'm going to pray according to my feelings and pray to my emotions, but I will do you a better service. I'll be a better friend if I pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Let your glory be revealed in this life in the name of Jesus. Remember, back to your lesson, it says Jesus told the sisters of Lazarus that their brother's sickness would be for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Remember that? I mean, they're weeping and they're crying because their brother has been dead 4 days and Jesus took His time getting there. And they told Him, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And this is what Jesus tells them, that their brother's sickness would be for the glory of God. You know, and they probably didn't get much comfort out of that because they didn't understand what the glory of God was all about. Oh, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. It's John 11:4. It says, and he intentionally waited, it says, until Lazarus was dead, so his power as the resurrection and the life could be made known in an awesome display. And this is John 11. If you read John 11, 1 through 45, it talks about that. On that day, the whole community saw the glory of God transcend hopelessness, death, and the grave. That glory still shines today as we, thousands of years later, read the account of the revealing of the glory of God through the Son on that day. Boy, today we read the account of Lazarus. People talk about it. I mean, it's just one of those profound stories of the Bible that most people know. Oh, and they even use the comment, Lazarus. I mean, we use it all the time. Oh, boy, it's like the raising of Lazarus over there. You know, we just use it because it's such a profound thing. The account of Lazarus continues to give us hope that Christ is above and beyond even death. I'm telling you, I know we've all have lost loved ones, but boy, isn't it a comfort to know you'll see them on the other side. And I don't count anybody out. If they weren't serving God, honey, I don't count them out, because if they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you were praying for them, oh, I just believe even in a split second. You know, remember, he's a God over time and space, man. He could, I mean, someone was telling me about their family member that was shot bullet and he was killed instantly. And they said, and he wasn't serving God. I said, but if were you praying for him? Yes, I'm praying. So I don't know if Jesus stepped into that split second and ministered.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I said, I'm just crazy enough to believe that, guys. I just believe it, that because I was praying. They were praying, and we may not know on this side of heaven who made it in and who is with them. But so you keep praying. You keep praying. He is the God over death. He is a God. He's a God over time. You know, so God knows. God knows what is happening on the other side.
He promises that you and your household will be saved.
You and your household. Isn't that in the Word? That is in the Word, Rose. It is in the Word. And I just believe that. I said, God, you know, I heard this because I heard this believer saying that. Well, he was killed instantly. And I said, but you just don't know. God can step into a split second and minister to people in a split second. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you've got to really understand who God is, because we're not understanding. We live in these temporal terms and this temporal life, and we don't see him as he is. As I said, we only see glimpses of his glory. But this raising of Lazarus was showing. He wanted to show the whole town that he was above death. Death meant nothing. He was in the grave 4 days, and he probably stinks at this time. Didn't mean anything. Like, and, you know, Jesus had that. Jesus had that. For us, it's like, oh, it's too late, it's over. But for Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I still hear stories about missionaries, usually it's overseas somewhere, where they talk about the dead being raised. Mm-hmm. How God still is stepping into death as he chooses to raise the dead. The final points in your lesson, when you pray for something and ask that the Father may be glorified in the Son, John 14:13. Prepare for him to do what he knows will bring him the most glory. Okay, that's in your book. Prepare for him to do what he knows will bring him the most glory, okay? This means that things may not turn out the way you want or expected, but trust in that in the end, God will get the most glory out of the situation, and you can trust that. Take that to the bank. I mean, if you had the choice, Lord, let my will be done, or Lord, let your glory be shown. That's the decision before you. What do you choose? I want my will to be done, Lord. I don't really care about your glory. Look out, because you don't know what's coming past that. Even when there are losses in the temporal human realm, God can still get the glory in the eternal realm. We must always look toward the eternal glory of God. Again, as human beings, we have got to get our minds out of this temporal life. Because folks, I'm telling you, just looking at the news this week, two shootings in 2 days. Yes. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're caught up in this temporal existence, you are going to be disappointed all the time. But you have to look into the eternal. Everything temporal is going to pass away, but the eternal in God will never pass away. So even when you deal with people, you want to look into the eternal things. You know, when you love people, you're loving them into eternity, folks. That's why you love people when they don't deserve it, when they're doing all kind of things and they treat you badly and you still love them and you forgive them, because you're looking into the eternal things and not the temporal things. It says the first response, it says in your lesson, the first response to God's glory is praise, of course. When we sense the glory of God, we praise. We must remember to do as Abraham and David did. They gave thanks and praised God. Praise when God was glorified. In the end, they saw his compassion and grace toward them. They saw how God gently and faithfully taught them his love and truth, and they thanked and praised him for it. God revealed himself to them, his glory to them, and they glorified God through praise and worship and thankfulness. So that's when you see God's glory. They trusted God more after their experiences into the revealing of his glory. And so will you. You'll learn to praise him no matter how it comes out. Lord, I praise you. Mm-hmm. Lord, you raised them up from the sick bed. I praise you. Lord, you took them. I praise you, Lord God. I trust you in that they're in your presence, Lord God. And we are people of the eternal and not of the temporal, Lord. Even when you take them and our hearts will miss them, Lord God, we praise you. Oh, Lord, we praise you. The second response to God's glory is to testify. Oh, wow, we got to tell others about this. When God has been glorified in our lives, we should tell others what he has done. Testifying gives God more glory as others will praise him for what he has done in your life and then seek his glory in their own lives, folks. You got to tell people about it. Don't be ashamed of where you've been. Don't be ashamed of where you came from. You know, I share my life. I share, you know, even as a Christian, I went through some very painful, embarrassing things. But the Lord says, share it, because this person needs to hear it. That person needs to hear it, because look at where I brought you from. You know, you can't walk around and act like, well, I've always been here and I've always been on top of the world. No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I had some hard days. I had some losses. I made some mistakes. I was disobedient. As a Christian, I was disobedient. I was hard-hearted. So thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Share your life. Share your testimony. Share your story. And people want to hear your story sometimes before they want to hear the word. They want to hear your story. What do you think of this? And you can tell your story. That's your segue. Finally, it says, so when God answers prayer, boast on what he has done and is doing. It gives him glory. And this is from our book. My God, Psalm 32:2 says, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the oppressed hear and rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the oppressed hear and rejoice. And folks, there's so many people that are oppressed. They may have a smile on their face, but they're oppressed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they need to hear your testimony, your story, what I went through. You know, as I said, told people I don't care anymore. You know, I remember when we lost our home. And I mean, it was in the paper. I didn't even know it was in the paper. I was at a Christmas party and they told me it was in the paper. And I mean, oh my goodness, if you can imagine, I was so embarrassed and so hurt and so many things. But I look back at where God brought us from. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I can share it openly. I said, yes, that happened to me. So if it's happened, he brought me out, he can bring you out too. Yes, but the wonderful thing about that thing is that after that, I'm like, well, you know what? My stuff is out there now. Why even put on any airs anymore? Because everybody knows, and you cast off that pride. I'm his maidservant. I'm like, yeah, that happened to me. Yeah, that was me. Uh-huh, did that too. Uh-huh. But I don't care. But look what the Lord has done.
Yes, yes.
Look what the Lord has done. See, that's where we want to get to. And that's where God brings us to. It's all about his glory.
More beautiful than the one you did.
It is. It is much better.
You have a beautiful
It is much better than the one I had before. And I'm telling you, I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I mean, yeah, we went from just on the brink of homelessness. I was like, okay, well, we got the minivan, you know, the minivan's paid for. So, you know, maybe we could just hang out in the minivan for a few days. I mean, that's just really what was going, because it was like there was just no time to do all the things that needed to be done. Even with my medical degree, it was like, okay, right now we have no place to go. But God. Mm-hmm. God. Sure. Folks, if I ever told you, you wouldn't believe me if I told you the story of what happened, that how we got to where we are. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Judy knows. Judy, yeah. Been there, done that, huh, Judy?
Yeah. Have you given that testimony?
I've told a lot of people.
No, you know. I mean, you haven't given it to like a group of women or...
No, I haven't. No. I haven't. I haven't told that story, but it was just amazing that people just came, and people that didn't even know me bought that house for us, bought it for us, mm-hmm. you know, put their name down. And, you know, and that was no cheap house, man. And I was like scared to death. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm working at this little center, this little nonprofit organization that doesn't pay much. And, you know, and I was thinking so many things.
But God,
I'm telling you, he came through, and that's his glory, see? And that's why I say his glory, when I tell the story, his glory is revealed, because it wasn't Karen, it wasn't that she was so intelligent that she figured it out, no. I was terrified, I didn't know what to do, had two kids, one with special needs, oh my God, you know, you couldn't take Matthew anywhere, you had to be careful where I took Matthew. Because people would be putting us out because of some of the stuff he was doing back then.
And you know, I've always, not always, but I mean, I've recognized God's glory. But when I tell you, it really, really hit me that I think it was last year or the year before when those young kids were caught in that mine that was filling with water.
Oh, wow.
Did you remember that?
I don't remember that story.
Went all week trying to get those kids out of there.
Wow.
And the techniques they had through there was like tight spots that they showed that just the body could get through. Uh-huh. And I remember following that story every day as they were trying to get those kids out. And it was, I'm like, there is no way in our humanness that could have happened without God's God just
guiding
that.
And you know people were praying.
Yes.
People are always praying in situations like that. They're praying, man.
Yep.
And I just believe if they got out, I know there was somebody that was reaching heaven. You know, on behalf of those children.
It was just an amazing story.
Yes.
And none of those children were hurt. They were all, came. They didn't have any food, but they always had water.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to have is water.
Wow.
And they had to work within X amount of time because of oxygen levels, and they had to sedate the kids so their bodies would be more like limber and they wouldn't panic and tense up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, that was unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
I forgot, where was that at?
And they somehow got in a cave. And they
that's right, because it had started to rain
and they
got into the cave and then the cave started filling with water and they didn't have time to get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they thought the cave would go, but the further they went, the further deeper it went.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
God.
Amen. I still think of that story today and praise God.
Yes.
For those kids coming out. They were so young.
An example
none of them died. They all came out.
Yeah.
They all came out alive.
Example of God's glory. Yeah. Again, I said his glory is just revealed. Yeah. Just glory to God. You know, his glory.
But
you know, because his hand has to be there.
And people within this United States, and we're just praying for that. And I bet you.
And you know, the first responders, they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. They wasn't looking for praise, and that's my job. I did what I was supposed to do.
People like that are so
amazing. They wasn't looking for, oh, you're so great, let's get you rewarded. $10 million
No, they didn't want any. Grateful they got out, and the kids did.
And I think they're looking up to people that they rescued too, and they're kind of like a real close knit family. And, it's a, we have to check into that.
It was amazing. That's all I know.
Let's pray, guys. We're running out of time. So, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for that story and that testimony, Lord God, because, again, it reveals your glory, Lord God. You are faithful. You are faithful, Lord God.
As
my sister Rita brought up, Lord, you take us from glory to glory, Lord God. You just reveal yourself in our lives over and over again, Lord. You let us know, Lord God, that we are not alone, that you are here with us, Lord God. You said you would never leave us. You never forsake us, Lord. And you show that, Lord God, in your glory that you give us glimpses of, Lord God. Even as we go through the hardest days, oh, Lord, in the saddest days, Lord God, we thank you that your glory comes through to be revealed, Lord God. And, Lord, we just pray over everyone here, Lord God, that your glory continues to be revealed in their lives, Lord God. And, Father, I pray that we would catch that glimpse of you, Lord God. Father, we wouldn't take it for granted. We wouldn't call it circumstantial, or we wouldn't call it coincidence, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we would say that to God be the glory, because you are here and you are involved and your hand is in our lives, Lord God. I pray, Lord, even as we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, for your glory to be revealed, that our trust in you would grow and grow and grow, Lord God. Oh, Lord, Father, you see our frame and you know that we are but dust. But I thank you that you bring us along. I thank you that you are patient with us. I thank you, Lord God, that you continue to forgive us. I thank you that you continue to cover us with your blood, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you because you're coming for us, Lord God. And I thank you, oh God, as we expect you. Oh Lord, even as this world, Lord, reveals everything you said it would, Lord God. The prophecies have all come true, Lord God. Oh Father, we expect you, Lord God. We don't look, Lord God, to man. We look to the sky, Lord, knowing, Lord God, oh Lord, that you are faithful, who promised, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that all that can be saved would be saved, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would penetrate into the hearts and convict and convince, Lord God. We pray that the lies of Satan are torn down. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord, those tender hearts. Lord, we talked about those with tender hearts, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that are engulfed in lies, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you loose those bands of wickedness in the name of Jesus, and they are set free in Jesus' name, and they will come to call on you, Lord God, the Creator, their Creator, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, that they would be true to who they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.